It's not a time where we're going to feel sorry for ourselves. We'll find our way through this. It's going to make it all the much more sweeter when we get to where we want to go.
Martinez back on the track. Near the wall. She's gone. It's a grand slam. Giancarlo. Nosy Blows Scopolo. He hits a home run on line drive in the right field seats. A grand slam.
Now takes a 6-4 lead. Kepler lines that in the air to left center. Hicks on the run, dives, and he made the catch! He made the play! Oh my goodness, what a catch from Aaron Hicks to end it!
In that sense, both looking forward to making a deep run into postseason and ultimately bringing home the title back to New York.
Welcome back to the Yankee Center podcast, and we got a decent amount of stuff to talk about today. Since the last time we talked, Adam Ottavino has been traded to the Red Sox. Shocking. Darren O'Day is a Yankee, and Gary Sanchez got shit on by Brian Cashman, so we got a fun episode today. Tom, how you doing?
I'm okay. We're definitely ready for baseball season. We've had a bit of a snowstorm here, which is not what you want, in the words of Joe Girardi, but
already shoveled.
We are a few weeks away from spring training, allegedly. And you know, I've reached full baseball mode. Football is over with. My Giants stunk, so the football was over for me a while ago. And then the Rangers aren't playing too well right now. The Knicks have been surprisingly okay. I'm in full baseball mode. Give me baseball back. I'm ready for it.
Yeah, man, I am in full baseball mode myself. And, you know, this Yankees team, they're really getting me excited because now we're at the point where it's about complete. The only things that I'd say aren't truly done yet is Brett Gardner, who I fully expect back still at a very low price, along with, in ideal world, a reliever, but I'm starting to sour on that. And when I say sour on that, I mean I just don't necessarily think we're going to get another that's really impactful. I would like to. I just don't necessarily expect it. But regardless, you know, the one thing you have to consider with what was essentially the Yankees saying we want Darren O'Day over Adam Ottavino is O'Day has been better. I mean, I'm not trying to be that guy, but I mean, if you look at the stats, he's clearly been better, and he has better command. He dominated the last 2 years. I mean, in 2019, the guy had a 1.69 ERA, and then in 2020, he had – oh, then again, 2019, he really pitched, but 2020, he had a 1.10. So, I mean, the guy's been doing really good.
Yeah, talented pitcher. He's kind of old, but he's, like
– you know what? With him, it doesn't matter, though.
Yeah.
He throws
mid to high 80s, but he's got a wipeout slider. He basically does what Ottavino does, except like he's like $6 million cheaper.
Which is why I love it. I love it.
So they basically replaced Ottavino with a cheaper, less hard throwing Ottavino, which is kind of funny. They found like an exact match for what Ottavino does. Wipeout slider, funky arm angle, and good pitcher. And usually primarily pitches against righties. I don't think the Yankees viewed Ottavino as a guy that gets lefties out anymore. I think they viewed him as kind of a, if there's like a few righties in a row in an inning, that's usually going to be Ottavino's inning. And so they're like, that $9 million isn't really worth having that on our luxury tax payroll. So let's get Ottavino out of here, see if we can find a taker to take on most, if not all, of the money. They found the Red Sox, and then the next day, they signed Darren O'Day, who does basically exactly what they wanted Ottavino to do.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And, you know, Yankee fans need to be a little bit more realistic about the situation, because there were some that were upset about Ottavino being traded. And
I was initially.
I get it, because aside from him being a very good pitcher despite a pretty rough year, not even a horrible year, he had one really bad outing. That's the reality of it. And in 2020, where you have such limited innings, your ERA is going to be so bloated with one bad outing. That's just the reality of it. So, you know, that's why he finished the year with a 5.89 ERA. You know, that's why when it comes to ERA, it's not the best with relievers. Starters, different story, but relievers, it could be very misleading. But the fact that he went to the Red Sox definitely hurt a bit. It kind of bothered me at first, but just looking at it now, I'm just at the point where I get that it's all about the luxury tax game. I don't agree with it, but that's the reality of it. And if no, and I agree with Michael Kay on this. It's hard to get mad at the Yankees to an extent when literally no other team except maybe the Mets will end up going over the tax. And even them, I'm not even sure they're going to go over the tax.
Yeah, Steve Cohen's Steve Cohen's had a rough few weeks, man. So
yes, he has.
I actually think they're going to get Bauer, to be honest. But I think they may find a way to still stay under, because they do have a lot of money that to play with right now.
Yeah.
But they could either go two ways. They could either go over the tax and go for the big splash in Bauer, or they could get like 3-4 players for $30 million. So I don't know what they're gonna do, but this isn't a Mets podcast.
What's the Mets payroll at?
It's like 185 around there or something.
Oh,
like
that's actually not that bad. Okay, yeah.
Because Cano's money.
Yeah, that doesn't count for this year.
Cano, you know, was an idiot. Did roids. Yep. So I don't see the Yankees going over, unfortunately. I think what we have is what we're going to have. And
I think it's enough. I really do think it's enough, as long as things play out in the way I expect them to. And no, I'm not saying everything's going to go perfectly, because A, you can't expect that, and B, it never
happens. I expect it to go perfectly.
We're trying to be optimists. Let's be optimists for now, until we have a reason not to be. But with that said, like we've always been saying the last few weeks, the Yankees have enough starting pitchers where something's going to have to go right, quite frankly, because personally, I have faith in, obviously, Cole. And aside from Cole, I think Montgomery is going to have a good year. I think both of them are going to be stables in that rotation. So from there, you just need two arms out of like 7 or 8 to pan out. And I think that's a very reasonable expectation for considering how good all those arms are. I mean, it's a group of Severino, Tyone, Kluber, Herman, Garcia, Schmidt, etc. I mean, that's a lot.
Can't forget Mike King.
Can't forget Michael. And man, I heard an interesting thing about we could have had another starter.
Oh, is this what you were referring to?
Oh, yeah.
Luis Castillo?
I'll get into this quick, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to give credit to where it's due. This is from the NYYST podcast. Really great group of guys. I actually just got into their podcast very recently. At some point, I might actually reach out, see if they want to do a project together. I think that'd be really fun. But arts and crafts. Yes, that'd be pretty fun. I can't draw, but I can try.
Neither can I. I can't draw for shit.
So this is a deal that Cashman actually wanted to make, but Hal would not let it go through. And the reason why Hal wouldn't let it go through is because he was going to have to give this one of the players in this deal an extension. Uh-huh. Realistically, Cashman was going to trade for Lindor and Carrasco.
Oh.
And he offered quite a package.
What was the package?
Well, for one, Didi Garcia was in it.
Ah.
And that wasn't even the biggest name.
Hmm.
Gleyber Torres was in the deal.
Get the fuck out of here.
I'm not kidding. Dan Federico was on the show, and he said he is 98% sure that this is a factual thing that was stated by his source, who is an executive in baseball. And he talked to multiple people to confirm this. They were going to offer Gleyber Torres and Didi Garcia for Carrasco, Lindor, and he said it was likely the Indians were also going to obviously send more because of Gleyber Torres' control. But and Hal just did not want to give an extension. So with that in mind, the deal obviously made no sense.
Ooh, bad luck on Hal.
Imagine that.
Ooh, that's a really difficult deal, man.
The Yankees fandom, one way or another, would have exploded.
I think they would have. Signed DJ as well, right?
I don't know. The thing is, would they really have? Because Carrasco.
They would have had Gio at third, Lindor at short.
But how could they afford that?
They wouldn't have had anyone playing second base.
Like you're talking probably if assuming let's say this they knew they had to. How much is Lindor making this year? 20? 25?
21, I believe.
21. And then Carrasco's probably making what? A little under 20, I think?
I think he's making around like 12, 13, 14.
Oh, I thought he was making a lot more than that. But
yeah, I think he's on like a team-friendly deal, to be honest.
Okay, so let's say it's $35 million total. Eve, that's a good chunk of change considering what the Yankees are working with financially. So that kind of, I'm going to be honest, that might have been it. Just about for the Yankees outside of like a reliever with Ottavino being traded. I mean, you would have had very limited room to make upgrades at that point. They probably would have let DJ go and go for maybe someone a little smaller. But I will say maybe if they traded Ottavino and didn't go for another reliever, they could have made it work considering DJ only got $15 million a year. I mean, that's a very team friendly deal. So maybe they could have worked it, but that would have been a blockbuster, man. That would have been crazy.
That would have broken baseball.
That would have broken baseball, man. Gleyber Torres nearly got traded to the freaking Indians.
Oof, that's a difficult trade. I don't even know necessarily if I would make it, to be honest.
I don't know either. I'm going to be honest.
It's close. Because obviously Carrasco's like 35 right now, and then obviously you're going to have to pay Lindor. So, like, you're giving up a lot of control because Glaber's got 4 years of control and then Davey's got 6 years of control.
I would say that it depends on what the other pieces were aside from Carrasco and Lindor. Because if we got, like, let's say a solid starting pitching prospect and maybe, I don't know, possibly a super stud reliever that's under control, then maybe I think about it. And then suddenly it becomes a different story. But like 2 for 2, no shot. I don't make that trade personally.
Yeah.
I mean, think about what the Mets gave. They gave shit in comparison to what the Yankees offered. Yeah, I mean,
like Ahmed Rosario and Andrés Giménez aren't really comparable to Gleyber Torres.
Not even close.
So David Garcia.
Also
David as well.
Garcia. I mean, yeah.
Like, those are two of our best young players. So I'm like, I'm kind of okay that it didn't happen.
Especially
because we got DJ back as well.
Of course. So like, I think it would have been very unnecessary considering Gleyber Torres. You know what he can be. Lindor certainly can be better given his fielding ability, but how much better is he? Is it worth all that to get Lindor when you have Torres already and you can get DJ for $15 million? I'd have to say no.
You know, baseball is kind of, you don't just like, it's not like, oh, this player is better, so automatically go get him. There's kind of reasons why you should or shouldn't get a player. I mean, there's, you've got the team control factor, you've got the financial factor. It's like 4 years of Gleyber at a pretty affordable cost versus 1 year of Lindor at $21 million plus the inevitable contract extension at over 30. Is that worth giving 4 years of Gleyber for those years that kind of making that kind of trade and then having to pay that kind of money, and then you're probably gonna, I mean, you're going to have a high payroll with like three ginormous contracts, and then obviously Judge. Exactly.
I don't think
force.
It would have worked.
Yeah.
Because
so, like,
you would have had to let someone go, for being honest about it. I mean, you're not going to have 4 to 5 $30 million contracts, and you would have been heading towards that for sure.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, Lindor is amazing.
No, he's a stud.
He is an absolute beast. It's just like, you can't just like, it's not that simple as to just say, oh, automatically this player's better, go get him. We're not the George Steinbrenner Yankees. The Hal Steinbrenner is not going to have you know, a $300 million payroll where he's going to pay all the free agents, we're going to make all the contract extensions. We're going to make the big trade and then sign Lindor to an extension. And then we're also going to sign Judge to an extension. You know, if Gary has a great year, we bring him back as well. If Severino comes back, we pay him as well. That's just not how it's going to work. You know, there are going to be, you know, tightened financial restraints. And so, yeah, I'm okay that it didn't go through. You know, Lindor and Carrasco are awesome, and good for the Mets for making that deal. It's a deal they should have made 100% of the time.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm just happy that we have DJ back, and I think Glaber will be okay at shortstop and, you know, be in a well above average bat.
Mm-hmm. That's all you're
better.
Asking for.
And can just continue to get better. He's 24 now. I mean, like, come on. Aaron Judge didn't break into the league until he was, like, 24 or 25.
Yeah.
So, go Glaber.
Go Glaber, baby. Yeah, you know what? That would have been crazy, but I'm with you, man. It's a good thing it didn't happen in the end, but we would have made the best of it regardless, even if it did happen. Like, we wouldn't have been, like...
No, we wouldn't have been screwed.
It's not a scenario where you get furious, like... Oh, no. We just got Lindor and Carrasco. Ugh. Like, no one's going to be saying that. If anything, you just feel very conflicted about it.
It's just like...
It's very conflicting.
We just traded 10 years of control on two of our best young players for an older pitcher and a shortstop, an awesome shortstop who needs to get that big payday immediately. Yeah. So it's just like, I don't really know. But,
for sure,
but
it does make you wonder, though. You know, and that tells you, is Davey Garcia a name Cashman is dangling after a big year? I mean,
probably.
It's something I always have to think about. I mean, Glaber, no, I know they're not doing that. The only reason why they offered him is because you're literally getting his replacement in that deal. I mean, that if it wasn't for that, Glaber Torres is not even on the table. Like he wouldn't go in the Luis Castillo deal. I'm confident in saying that. Like, that wouldn't even be considered by Cashman, but...
You know, Lindor is one of those players that you actually, like, can accept Glaber being traded for.
Of course, you're getting a replacement that could be equal, if not better.
Well, he is way better right now.
Well, defensively, for sure, but...
Yeah, just, he's a beast, you know. Glaber, get better at defense. I don't have to go into the rant again. You know, he's going to come into camp in shape. He's been playing video games with Gio. And he's going to be an okay shortstop. And he's going to hit over 30 home runs again.
Yeah, me too, man. I have a lot of faith in Glaber. But let's go back to Darren O'Day and Ottavino quick, because we kind of got sidetracked there by that whole topic. But that was fun. That was certainly very fun to discuss. I'm interested to see what they decide to do with the bullpen, because right now we got a group of Chapman, Britton, Green, O'Day, and then beyond that, it's kind of just a competition for who's the best. I mean, and we don't even know, like, what are rosters going to look like this year? Are they going to start with, like, 27, 28, or are they just going to go at regular?
I think they're going to go with 26.
Well, yeah, 26 is the minimum, obviously, because that's just the way it is now in baseball after last year. It's a new rule, but so you're probably going to have an 8-man bullpen, if we had to guess. And probably one of those guys is going to be a guy who can pitch out of relief and also give spot starts, because I'm sure the Yankees
Adam Warren.
Yeah, like, some honestly, yeah, I wouldn't be shocked at all. Adam Warren could totally make the bullpen, but
I expect him to make the bullpen.
I wouldn't be shocked. I
expect it.
To fill four spots, then I would say you're probably going to end up giving them to definitely Luis Sessa, unless he totally implodes. Nick Nelson, I think, is probably going to get a spot. Loaisiga, and maybe Adam Warren, or maybe they even consider, depending
Bring
on who
Luis Avalon.
Honestly, man. I'll leave it on this. Who actually doesn't get hurt in spring training out of our group of starters? Because if, hypothetically speaking, let's just say...
I don't
say,
want Clark going to the bullpen.
No, me neither. But let's say in a perfect world, everyone was healthy somehow.
I think King could make that last spot.
I was going to say, but if everyone was healthy, then yeah, I think like King could be in that spot. Maybe I wouldn't be shocked if Herman could be in that
Albert
spot.
Albert Abreu needs to be on the opening day roster because of he doesn't have any options left.
That's my – yeah, so you know, that's a guy that can definitely make it. And he has the stuff. I mean, he has great stuff. That guy.
If Albert Abreu isn't traded or DFA'd, he'll be on the opening day roster because he.
Yeah,
because
they aren't
going to
lose him. They aren't going
to
lose him for nothing. I'm confident in saying that.
Yeah.
Because they do like him. They do. It's just he's made it clear that he's not going to be a starter, in my opinion. I don't think that's where his future's at. But I think that he's one of the many cases of where you have a guy who can throw upper 90s, has solid off-speed stuff that could really transition well to the bullpen, man. I think he can really be everything you want out of a reliever. So hopefully he takes some steps forward and we get a big season out of him and any of the other guys that need to step up, like Nick Nelson, who apparently the Yankees are very high on, according to guys like Brian Hoke, Dan Frederico, and a lot of other guys that have been involved in the Yankees organization.
Yeah, Nelson is a very talented arm. There definitely needs to be some refinement, but like the talent is clearly there, so you can see why they like someone like him.
So
I mean, it's exciting to have like all of these young pitchers, and like they're all basically major league ready. So like there's no more waiting, I guess. Like we don't have to wait for Davey anymore. We don't really have to wait for Clark anymore. It's just like they're here.
Yeah, who makes it? That's all.
Yeah, really. It's just about who makes it.
Battle it out.
And the guys that don't make it are going to get more seasoning down in the minors. And yeah, and then we'll see them soon. Looking forward to it. I mean, obviously, these pitchers we've been hearing about for a long time, specifically Davey and Clark. So it's good that we have all of these pitchers. I'm feeling good about our rotation, our starting rotation, with Cole, Monty, Kluber, Tyone, Herman. I'm feeling good about that. I think Herman's going to be the fifth starter. I think they're going to limit Davey early. That's my gut.
I'm with you on that. I've been thinking that myself, and he can end up being a really good fifth starter. In all honesty, I mean, the guy showed some really great upside during.
If he repeated his 2018,
you take
it. His 2019.
You know, because he had some clunkers, but when he was on, man, he was on.
He was a perfect fifth starter before. Oh, totally. Before he acted like a jackass.
And honestly, he can be more than that. He can be better than a fifth starter if he just finds a little bit more consistency. I mean, you're looking at, in my opinion, a guy who has some real upside. I mean, his stuff is totally filthy. Like, that's a legit starting pitcher in your rotation if he ever figures it out. So,
yeah.
Worst case, you have a really good fifth starter that has the potential to dominate on any given day. That's what the Yankees have in a lot of their pitchers, man. They have guys who have the potential to dominate on any given day, and that's what I want in a rotation come playoff time. Where your number four or five starter, you're not necessarily counting on them to be an ace, obviously, but you know that there are days where they can pitch that way. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're kind of banking on sometimes to get you over the hump when you need it. So that's why I love what the Yankees have done all offseason, because that's what someone like Kluber and Tyone and Severino, when he's back, can do. Those are all guys that can pitch like aces. Cole is an ace. So you can have a rotation of all guys that could be aces, essentially, and on a given day. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's just there's a lot of high upside arms, that are major league ready, like I said. So, it's pretty awesome having kind of this much depth. And then, obviously, we didn't even mention Severino eventually returning. So, there's just so many arms that we have. So, I think we're going to have a good – we're going to be good, with our rotation, because like you said, we're going to find the right combination of pitchers pitching well,
Yeah. And you know what? This year we have a lot more time to figure it out than last year.
Oh yeah.
And that's going to really have a big
102 role. More games.
Yeah. I mean, that's something people really don't understand, because 60 game season, such a small sample size. Everything has to be so rushed in terms of figuring out who's on and who's not and what you like and what you don't like. But this year, you're going to have a full spring training to really figure it out. And for the record, I just want to state, because this has been being discussed for a while, or rather the last few days, about whether or not spring training is going to start on time because of the Players Union likely rejecting MLB's most recent offer, which included universal DH, 154 game season, but we start spring training at the end of March instead. And I can promise you that's not happening. Mm-hmm. I can promise you. It's not, because why the hell would MLB agree to this when the players have made it clear they're ready for spring training and they don't want to push it back because it's going to really mess with their routines when they don't have to? Because if they just say no to what's being offered, the season goes as is. And I think that's what they want, in all honesty. I don't think they're looking for any of that extra bullshit outside of the DH, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the DH, obviously, it's what, you know, everyone wants, but like, it's not that it, like, the MLB is using this as like a big chip, but like, the MLB PA is okay with going one more year without the DH, because expanded playoffs is a much bigger chip that the MLB PA holds. You know, that's what the MLB wants more than anything, because it gets some extra cash, obviously.
Yeah, so they can make it one more year. I mean, exactly. I guarantee you they'd rather have one more year without the DH in a regular season than MLB getting their bullshit into this 2021 season again before they go into the next CBA. I'm very confident in saying that. So
also, why is MLB making these proposals 2 weeks before the season's going to start? Pitchers, specifically, they have a routine, right? And you're going to ask them now, they're just about to go to spring training, to fuck up their routine for a month?
It's not happening.
It's going to get people hurt. This should have, if you wanted to push it back, you should have had these conversations in, like, November.
Absolutely.
Like it just, it can't be done now. I mean, it's too late. If you're going to get people hurt. I'm sorry. So the season has to go on. If they want to make some sort of deal about the DH, maybe get a few more extra playoff teams like they did last year in exchange for the expanded DH, whatever. Just figure it out. Go play baseball. Let's do this. Let's have our full 162-game season safely, obviously. You know, it's just, it pisses me off that MLB does this so last minute, you know? They did this with the expanded playoffs.
That was
last year. And like opening day, we found out we were going to have extra playoff teams. It was like the entire format changed. It's like, what the hell?
And, you know, it's definitely a bummer, because literally, I don't think any of the players support this, honestly. Just about. Like, I bet you it's a handful at most that want expanded playoffs. I mean, there's nothing good that comes of it outside of extra profits for baseball, man. It really... unless, again, in a 162-game season, or scratch that, even 154 if that were to happen, 16 teams playoffs don't work. And even so, the most recent offer, they put it down to 14. That's better, but it's still not right. It's too much. It's too much. I can work with 12. 12?
You
can
talk me. 12 is workable.
I can get talked into 12. Because I think that's enough where you're going to get extra teams to at least make extra profit, but it's also going to maintain the integrity of the sport. I think that's the best way to go if they really want to add more teams to the playoffs. But any more than that, and the regular season just loses all meaning. And when the season is when the regular season is that long, it just doesn't work at all.
Yeah, here's my thing. Okay, so as of right now, the playoff format that we all know and love is 10 teams make it. The 3 division winners, 2 wildcard winners in each league. So you play 162 games. There are 15 teams in each league, if I'm not mistaken, right? 15 teams each league? Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
So you have only, when you're in your league, you only have 5 spots, 5 playoff spots. You play 162 games. Every game until you clinch matters. You need to clinch as soon as possible. You need to get your spot because there's only 5 of them. If you're expanding the playoffs and you're doing what you did last year where the first 2 teams make it in each division, it cheapens it significantly. And then I believe, didn't they also have wild card teams last year as well? Like, yes, they did. Like they had
the wild card rounds.
Like they had like the third, the best third place team made it, Like, it just cheapens it. It's like, what, we're going to allow just about half of the league to make the playoffs? I mean, the one of the best things about baseball is the exclusivity of the playoffs. Like, you know, you work to get, you work through that 162-game season to make, to get the right to play in the playoffs. Expanded playoffs, you know, it's more baseball, obviously, and that's cool. But, like, we just played 162 games. I want those 162 games to mean something, you know?
Yeah, no, I totally agree, man. It's something that is really important to the game because you can't really shorten the season any lower than 154, in my opinion. I don't think anything lower than that.
I like my long season.
Me too. And I mean, at that point, you're just losing baseball. And my biggest issue with that, quite honestly, is more than anything, not even my enjoyment, it's about stats. Because it's going to be so depressing when just thinking, like, if you go to less than 154 and you, let's say you go to 130 or something, you're probably never going to see a 50 home run season again at that point. Like, that's out the window. I mean, I think that's pretty fair to say, unless you go absolutely bonkers. And even if they do, someone does go nuts at that point, you're going to be thinking, well, what if it was a full 162? They could have got to 60 or 70. Like, you're not going to be able to get those crazy
Don't mess with baseball. Don't do it. You know, 162 or 154, fine. Anything lower than that,
it's stupid.
Just, like, you can obviously accept it when there's, like, a pandemic.
Yeah, of course. Different circumstances entirely.
But, like, in a regular year where everything's cleared up, No less than 154. Baseball, you know, I mean, like, baseball has been doing this forever. Why does this need to be changed? I don't understand. Like, it's not harming the game at all. The long season isn't harming the game at all. Mm-hmm. Sure, players get tired and they need rest days, and that's cool. Have your rest days. Let's have our season still, though. Like, that's why we gave you an extra roster spot so you can carry an extra bench bat. You know, so you can carry an extra position player. So when one of your players needs more rest, you have an extra guy to give them more rest. So, you know, continue like tweaking certain things, like maybe adding a pitch clock. Fine. Cool. Like, but like, I don't like the rules, like the three batter minimum. I don't like shortening our season.
I like the strategy of lefty on lefty relievers and righty on righty guys. I like that whole strategy aspect of baseball. So taking that out is pretty disappointing.
You just can't change the way the game is played, but you can change, you know, certain outside things, like, you know, speeding up the game is fine. Like trying to speed it up,
it's a piece of play, not the total time as much. You want to speed up the pace more than anything.
Exactly. So, like, when you say there's a four-hour baseball game, right? There's a four-hour baseball game. One of the four-hour baseball games is, like, a 5-2 game where one of the pitchers took his sweet-ass time throwing the ball, and it was a pretty boring experience, and it wasn't too close of a game as well. But the other four-hour game is this 10-9 thriller that goes down to the wire. There's a major difference between pace of play and time of game. So, like, it's just about, you know, making sure the game has a good pace to it, you know? Like, that's why they invented, like, the shot clock in basketball. That's why there's a play clock in football, you know? It's annoying when you got, you know, a pitcher, you know, stepping off. You got, you know, a batter, you know, stepping out, fixing his gloves every time. It's just like, come on, let's play baseball. You got your gloves on. They're all set. You set them up before you, you know, a guy takes a pitch and he adjusts his gloves. Like, you didn't even swing, bro.
I mean, it depends. Like, everyone's different with it. Like, me, I honestly don't give two shits about how long the game is. I'm going to be perfectly honest. Some people care, and I get that. I get it. But me personally, I genuinely don't care because to me, the differences that could be made to change pace of play in the end are going to be so marginal that they're really going to have no real difference on the actual pace of the game. It's not going to be a big enough difference where it's going to make people much more interested in baseball than before, which would be the goal of it. Because
baseball does not know how to help itself.
Because you're not doing it to please people that are already fans. You're doing it to gain new fans. But I don't think you're really going to get any new fans from these tiny changes, because that's all they are going to be. So that's kind of where I stand on that. But I think that MLB is being smart right now with one thing, and that is they're starting to hire some interesting people for executive roles in the game that are going to really get an idea, or rather have roles in the on-field operation side of things. Like Ken Griffey Jr. just got hired, and Raul Ibanez actually just now, and Theo Epstein. Those are guys that I think they have baseball's best interest at heart. And that kind of fills me with confidence, because I think they're going to really help get the game back on track a bit, given what Manfred has been doing. I think, because the thing is, there hasn't been enough pushback in the league against Manfred outside of the players themselves. Now, if you have people that are actually executives turning on him and fighting against what he wants, then I think you have a better shot at getting what the players want, because these are ex-players, a couple of these guys, and that's a very important thing that people can't really underrate.
Yeah, I mean, with baseball, they just need to modernize. I mean, they do. I mean, like,
promotion of the game, man. That's the weakest part about baseball right now. It's the promotion of the game is so weak. And another big thing that's unavoidable, unfortunately, is the draft, because the draft sparks so much interest in every other sport. But in baseball, no one cares. And they shouldn't care, because these guys aren't going to get called up anytime soon. So that's why I've always said, let them trade their draft picks. It's much more fun that way.
You know, I'm not against trading picks at all. And just, I'm kind of a little bit afraid that, like, you know, a team a small market team like Tampa is, you know, has like the number one pick, and they have to give the player that they pick like a $5-10 million bonus. So they trade it to a big market team because they don't want to pay the bonus. Like, that kind of scares me. It's a little scary.
Full sign baseball. Let's go.
You just got a what?
I was bidding on it last night. I just won it. Let's go.
Who signed it?
Garrett Cole, baby.
Goddamn.
Yeah, I got it for $113. Better than the $150 that's been going out there. I'll take that. Bang.
Nice job.
Because I've been saying for a while, I'm going to collect a signed baseball from every Yankees player on the next World Series team, and I figured he'll hopefully be on that team.
Yeah, you've got 8 years left. So.
Exactly. So I'm like, you know what? It's worth getting him now instead of later, when it inevitably just goes up in price. So do myself a favor there.
Have we mentioned Cashman's comments about Gary?
That's what we're going to head to next.
Oh, okay. Let's do that.
Yeah, so this was pretty ugly. I'm going to read it for you, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Story time with Luke. Now, this is from Cashman, and I quote, "I think the whole world knows why he was benched. It's pretty much self-awareness at that point. You had a horrible year on both sides of the ball. You lost your job in the most important time of the season, which is October baseball. I'm not sure if there is an explanation necessary. Your play speaks for itself, and you either play well enough to keep playing or you don't. Whether you were told directly, I'm not saying he wasn't, and I'm not saying he was. I don't really care." Oh, God. He just absolutely destroyed him. Imagine what he's feeling after that. Like, that's gonna hurt.
You know, actually, after he said those comments, he actually did lighten up on Gary. He said, like, you know, we expect him to be a different player. We know the kind of talent that he has. You know, we expect him to be, you know, a good player in 2021. And he doesn't, like, he's not mad about Gary's interview or anything. They basically have just, like, moved on from it. They're like, let's wipe the slate clean and let's have a good 2021. The thing that's so surprising about this is that, you know, for the past few years, they've been kind of babying Gary. Like, when Boone was hired, like, one of the first things he said was, like, we're going to have a good relationship with Gary Sanchez. You know, so, like, Gary's, like, one of those guys that I don't know much about Gary as a person, but it just seems like maybe he's like one of those people that just kind of needs to be like coddled a little bit. Does that make sense? Like, I mean,
I think that might be it. I'm not really sure.
I don't think he's like soft or anything. I don't like that. Like, I don't really like the coddling though. Like, it's okay. It's okay to say that, Gary, you gotta be better here. It's okay. Like, the way you say it, though, seems to be important, I guess.
Yeah.
Joe Girardi sat him on the bench and, like, just gave him a clinic in how to catch with Tony Pena in 2017, and that didn't go over well with Brian Cashman. Probably should have took that into the clubhouse, but, you know, this is a guy with so much talent that, like, maybe it's time to be harder on him to kind of squeeze out the talent with tough love instead of actual love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's definitely a valid thing to say, man. I'm with you all the way, and I'm hoping that Gary Sanchez takes some steps forward, because I'm going to be honest, if he sucks, take his spot. He really should, because Hickey has really been impressing me a lot since over the last couple of years. He has. In 2019 in the minor leagues, the guy hit 20 home runs at AAA over 70 games. The guy has real pop. Like, there's really no denying it. He has real pop. He does. And the guy had a 3-home run game in 2020. He had 3 homers in one game. And then he hit a home run against Blake Snell in the freaking postseason.
He's the next Gio Urshela. No.
Like, I'm not going to say he's the next Gio Urshela, but I will say I think he is better than what some people think he is. Catchers can't hit to begin with right now. Almost no catchers across the league aren't hitting.
He is a great backup to have.
I think he's better than a backup, man. I do, because the catching position is just so weak. No one could hit. How many good hitting catchers are there in baseball right now? Like 4 or 5, maybe?
Do you include Gary as a good hitting catcher?
At the moment, no.
At the moment, I will say I do. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
Okay, well, let's say we include Gary. You got Gary, JT, Grandal. I guess you can say Wilson Contreras, although he's getting worse. And who else beyond that?
Didn't Wilson Contreras have a good year?
I thought he had a bad year, but I could be wrong.
Hold up, I'm going to check that. I definitely would include Contreras as well. He doesn't have good defensive metrics, but he's a good bat.
No, he had an okay year. It was okay. For a catcher, it's pretty good.
Yeah, you always have to, whenever you look at catcher offensive stats, you always have to remember that, it was okay. The year before, 2019, his bat was really good, 888 OPS.
All right, so you got, 4 to 5 bats. Outside of that, I don't think there's really that many catchers that can hit.
He's only had one slightly below average offensive season. Every other year has been above average.
Okay, and then you go to Higgy, and he had a 929 OPS in AAA in 2019, and then 2020 at the major league level, in limited time, he had a 771. While that was brought up by his 3-homer game for sure, you got to consider he's a catcher. And if he hits for a 750 OPS, has some solid pop, and he's a really good defender, which he is, that is a starting catcher in the league. I mean, I don't really think you can argue.
He didn't walk.
And I don't care. I genuinely don't care.
That's funny. He didn't walk. But yeah.
But to be fair, he had 48 plate appearances, but.
Yeah, I know. It's just funny that he didn't walk. But yeah, there's only a select few of catchers that can hit. Like you said, you forgot Will Smith of the Dodgers. He can hit.
Oh, yes. Will Smith.
Yep. Not related to the Fresh Prince.
No, he's not.
Or so we think. I'm going through the Mitch Garber is a good offensive catcher as well. But he only really had one good year, but like he was hurt in 2020. But I'll give him the benefit of the doubt because his 2019 was so good. Mm-hmm. But like we said, it's a barren offensive position. Not many people hit, and not many people hit consistently. Like Jorge Posada and Mike Piazza were like miracles.
Will Smith is even better than I remember. Jesus Christ, he's fucking up.
Yankees passed on him in the draft.
I knew he was doing good, but
yeah,
he had a 980 OPS this year and 907 last year. I didn't realize.
Yes, he's a very good catcher. Wow. Very good offensive catcher.
Good for him.
His defensive metrics aren't good, but like he rakes. So
you live with it.
Yeah, he's like one of those guys, you live with it because he rakes. But yeah, like the catcher position, so barren. But like Higgy, I think Higgy could start on some teams for sure. Also, there's a catcher on the A's that's actually a good hitter as well, Sean Murphy. He's actually one of the...
Sean Murphy's decent.
Yeah, so like I'm going through it in my head. Like all the catchers. Austin Nola of the Padres can hit as well. There's like about 10 catchers that can hit, but there's only a select few that have been able to hit with consistency. Like
hit with consistency at a high level, it's a very limited
amount. Yeah, like I'm saying. Like
that's like the 4 to 5.
Yeah, if you look at like Pudge Rodriguez's career stats, he was always like an awesome defensive catcher, and he was a great offensive catcher as well for a long time. But like the end of his – but like – he wasn't like, it kind of just like his offense kind of fell off a cliff.
Well, catches break down at the end. That's just the reality of the position.
Which is why a guy like Piazza and like Posada, those two guys specifically, are like miracles. Like, you don't see catchers hit with that kind of consistency. So like, with Gary, like going back to Gary, like it's unfortunate that he's had two bad years. I mean, 2018 was mostly bad luck, because like if you look at like all of his like underlying metrics, he should have had like his best year in 2018, which is kind of sad. But like 2020, obviously he struck out like what, 40% of the time. Can't do that. Learn how to make contact again would be preferable.
I have one question for you.
Ooh.
Should Jorge Posada be a Hall of Famer?
I think he comes up a little short, but like he's like on the borderline, especially as a catcher.
That's what I mean. Because of the fact he's a catcher, it's really freaking close for me, dude.
Yeah.
If he wasn't a catcher, I don't even think about it, but
yeah. Positional value in baseball is real. Like what you do what you do as a catcher is not the same as what you should do as a first baseman. Like a first baseman hitting 270 home runs like Posada did, you know, never gets sniffed for the Hall of Fame. But like a catcher in like 270 home runs, he gets massive consideration because of how difficult the position is.
He had an 848 OPS too.
Damn. Yeah, he was a beast as an offensive catcher.
If a guy like Ted Simmons is in the Hall of Fame, there's no reason for Posada to not be in to me. Ted Simmons is not that good.
It's one of those borderline things where, like, I don't know, but like, what? It's difficult, but it is what it is. I'm okay either way. If like he did ever get in, I would not argue it.
I'll say this: I think Pettit gets in for sure at some point. I'm calling it.
I think he should. Like initially, I never really kind of considered him a Hall of Famer, not because of the roids, but I think he just came up a little short. But
it's
like
because of the era he pitched in, and you compare it to the people around him.
Exactly. And, like, you look at the numbers, and it's like, oh, shit. Like, he put up, like, over 60 WAR on both FanGraphs and Baseball Reference.
Yeah, he had a 117 career ERA plus, dude. He's better than average.
I believe he won, like, 256 games, right?
Yeah.
So, like, he's got 250 wins, and, like, I know wins aren't, you know, everything, but like that's still incredibly impressive. And then you've got, you know, he's the all-time postseason winningest pitcher. You know,
that's what puts him over the top.
Five championships. You know, he played in like 8 World Series, he won 5 of them, and he pitched great in like pretty much all of them.
He's right there with CeCe in terms of WAR.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's Andy freaking Pettit. He should be in the Hall of Fame. I know the steroids are probably the one kind of the thing that's holding him back from people really giving him serious consideration. But
I don't believe most of the excuses with steroids, even if they're Yankee players. But I believe his. I really do. I don't think he took steroids to get an advantage. I really don't.
I kind of looked at it. It doesn't seem like the thing that he took was actually illegal at the time.
Stupid that people hold that against him. Like, if you're going to hold that against him, then David Ortiz should not be in the fucking Hall of Fame next year. That's a load of horseshit if he is.
Yeah, so, like, Ortiz is definitely getting in.
And sure. That's what bothers me so much because he should not be in the Hall of Fame.
I'm one of those guys, like, I don't care anymore. Like,
I only care because of other guys that aren't going to get in.
I don't, like, for example, like, Sammy Sosa was such an important figure in the 90s. I would probably vote for Sammy Sosa. And, like, Manny Ramirez is, like, the best hitter anyone's ever seen. And, like, a best right-handed hitter. Like, he was remarkable for so long. Like, I would vote for him. And then, obviously, A-Rod was, like...
Oh, yeah.
A-Rod's a legend. I would vote for him.
My thing with guys like Manny and Sosa, I can at least get them not getting in because I think the steroids impacted their careers more than guys like Clement and Bonds. And A-Rod, considering he's a multiple-time offender, I get him not getting in as well despite his crazy stats because that's just – it's just a shitty look in that case. I'd vote for him, but I get why people wouldn't. But in the case of Bonds, he's a Hall of Famer before – he even took roids. So to me, he should be in for that reason alone. He was a Hall of Famer before he even got to the Giants. The guy was a five-tool player. And that's not even an exaggeration. He was a straight five-tool player. He stole – how many bases – stolen bases did he have? He had 514.
Yeah, he's the only guy with, like, 500 stolen bases and 500 steals.
I mean, dude, you would – I love looking at his baseball reference page. It's just ridiculous. Do you know how many intentional walks this guy has had in a single year?
Yeah.
Do you want to guess?
It's over 100, isn't it?
He has 120 in one year.
Yep.
He had a 609 on base percentage.
The league stopped pitching to him because they knew he was going to take him deep.
I can't even imagine watching this dude, man. It's one player I wish I could have watched.
It was literally like video game. Like when you turn all the sliders down. And, like, you turn all of your sliders up, you turn the CPU's sliders down, and you set...
I need Barry Bonds in MLB The Show.
If you added Barry Bonds in MLB The Show, like, his plate discipline rating would be, like, 200.
Please, like, if they added all the steroid guys, it'd be so fun.
Yeah, like, they should do, like, a steroid era, you know, kind of roster kind of thing. But, like, it's so fun. I think they should add classic teams and classic eras to the game. I know it would take so much work, though, like to like be able to, hey, let's implement the 1956 Major League rosters. Let's do that. Let's see what the 1956 Mickey Mantle winning MVP, you know, but and like you do like the schedule. Maybe you even like create all 30 stadiums from that era.
That would, like, be tough.
It would be so difficult to do it. It would be like a $100 million, hundreds of million of dollars project that it probably wouldn't be worth.
And I mean, you got to keep in mind they have to release these every year.
Yeah. So like, I think you should like do that as like a side game that like takes like 10 years to make.
Oh, I'd buy that.
Yes, that would be like the ultimate dream where you just and it like it's like, you know, that it's like a game that continues to update as well. It's like a game that never goes out of style because like they're constantly being updated with like new rosters and shit. But like, give me that. I need that. I just came up with like a remarkable idea that every baseball fan would buy. And also, I'm going to be the show's coming to Xbox, by the way.
No, it's not.
Oh, you didn't know?
Stop it.
No, literally, they announced that today.
No, they didn't. You're lying.
Wait, I feel like you're pulling my leg here.
No, I'm actually not.
Dude, they announced it on Xbox.
No, they didn't. Get away from me. You're just lying. Even so, the PlayStation is superior, so I'm happy I have it, but it's not going to Xbox.
It's literally going to Xbox.
Look it up right now. I guarantee you it's not.
Just sent it to you.
Wait, are you actually serious?
I just sent it to you.
Wait, that's a thing?
Yes, it's coming to Xbox.
Oh man, I can't make fun of my Xbox friends anymore.
Oh, live reaction.
Sucks. That sucks. I love making fun of everybody.
Cross-platform, so you get to play with your friends too.
Well, most of my friends have PlayStation anyway. I only have a few with Xbox, but
damn. Yeah, but those few now can play with you because it's cross-platform. So
I think I actually would have preferred making fun of them than having them play with me.
Oh, damn. Some friend you are.
Yeah, I'm a great friend, as you can see. But is there anything else you want to talk about regarding the Yankees? Or?
There's not really much happening. There's only, one big free agent left to sign, and that's Bauer.
Yeah, and so, I think he's going to the Mets.
Gut feeling says he goes to the Mets, too.
Where else does he go?
The mystery team pops up. Watch the Astros go get him.
John Heyman's going to come in there with the mystery team soon. Just wait.
Yep. Mystery team.
But I really still want another reliever, man. I want one so bad.
Because it would be preferred.
I really want to go back to having the super pen, man. Because although the rotation is capable of being great, there are real concerns. We have to be honest about that. There are real concerns with the bullpen, so I want to have that insurance in case we have some issues again, because a Super Bowl pen can save teams, man. I mean, look at the 2015 Royals. Their bullpen literally saved the entire team and allowed them to win the World Series. So
yeah, I would like to have a bullpen.
There's guys I would take that are pretty cheap. Like, I don't think Shane Green's going to go for much. I don't think he's going to go for much at all. And one guy I really would love, please get me Jake McGee. Please. He's cheap and he's really, really good.
Yeah, I've been on the Jake McGee train, so like, I'm a genius.
His K percentage is 99th percentile, Tom. And you mix that with a walk percentage, that's 96th percentile.
He strikes out a lot of guys, he doesn't walk a lot of guys, and people don't really hit him much.
That seems like a recipe for success.
Good combo. Good combo.
Yeah, that's a pretty good combo. So with that in mind, I am all in on someone like him. Worst case, I think Yankees add some minor league relievers, like on minor league deals, and hope one of them breaks into the big leagues. But who knows? Maybe there's someone out there that I'm not even thinking of.
Bring me Luis Avalon back.
It's going to come down to, I think, in the end, who's left when spring training starts and who's desperate enough to sign for lower than what they want. And I think that's when Cashman's going to strike and get someone. Because there's going to be players. We saw that last year, and that's definitely going to carry over again.
Yeah, probably. I'm looking forward to seeing who we get if we have, one more move. Do you think Gardner's coming back?
I know he's coming back. It's just a matter of what the price is. Because I've heard guys like Brian Hoke say maybe like 5 to 6, and I'm more like, I don't want to give him any more than like, I think the top amount he gets from the Yankees is 4, and I wouldn't even go 4. I go like 2 to 3 personally. Yeah. I don't think he's worth more than that, especially when you already have guys like Mike Tuchman on the roster who can play center field, have great defense, and can steal bases. So like,
yeah, I think I would bring Gardner back because, like, obviously Tuchman was pretty bad, but like also you just want the depth, and like for like $2 million to have another outfield depth and a clubhouse leader.
Yeah, for $2 million, that's a no-brainer.
So I'm in favor of bringing him back. One last ride. Hopefully we can get fans in the stands too, as well. So if this is Gardner's last year, you just kind of you have fans in the stands to give him like that last salute.
Yeah, I think he
deserves it.
He will get it. And I'm excited to see what the future holds with him. And I have a feeling that when he does retire, he's going to be one of those guys that keeps coming around the camp because he's addicted to the sport. Like, he's going to be that guy.
I think he'll spend, most of his time, deer hunting. But, he'll eventually just, pop up in, down in Florida for spring training.
Artie, dude, you retired. He's like, yeah, I know. Then he'll just walk onto the field.
I'm the bench coach now.
Oh, that would be hilarious.
it's too funny, but,
we need Kratz as the coach, man.
Do you think he gets a plaque in Monument Park, by the way?
No. I love Gardy, but you can't give him a plaque, because if you give him a plaque, you know how many players are going to get plaques at that point. I can make a full list.
How many players have played, what's he played,
13
years with the Yankees, has, over, 1,500 hits.
Okay, he has 43 WAR.
Over 100 homers, multiple time Gold Glover, World Series champion.
Okay, Here we go. Where is Roy White's plaque?
Ooh, so is that comparable?
He has a 46.8 WAR in his career. Rhett Gardner currently has a 43.0.
Did he do it all with the Yankees, though?
Entire career with the Yankees.
Okay, so Roy White deserves a plaque.
There you go.
How many years did he play?
14.
14, so that's very comparable. So Gardner would need to put up, like 3.6 WAR to tie him. So, they're basically, the same player. Holy shit.
I literally just thought of that off the top of my head. I was like, left fielder, 70s. Oh, yeah, Roy White.
Yeah, because, you watch every once in a while, Yes Network will play, a Yankee Classic from the 70s, and he's always in the lineup.
Oh, yeah, he's I love Roy White. But, yeah, with that said, I don't think Gardy can get a plaque with that in mind. Because I love Roy White, too. I do, but he's not a plaque-worthy guy. He's just not.
Oof.
Because you know how many plaques you'd have to give out, dude? It's so many. It's crazy.
Plaque Park.
If you had to go over the list of guys that deserve it at that point, it would be bad.
We've had a lot of good Yankees.
Where's Paul O'Neill's plaque? Because he definitely should get one then. Where's Tino's?
He didn't get one?
Did he get one or no? I forgot.
I believe Paulie got a plaque. I believe Bernie got a plaque. No, well, Bernie got his number Bernie retired. Got his.
Yeah, Bernie did. Wait, but one question. Why is Paul's... Yeah, he got a plaque. But why is his number not retired, though? Because they're not letting anyone wear it anyway.
It's kind of like an unofficial retired number. Because, I don't like the thing that. Here's the thing. The Yankees don't think that Paul deserves to have the number retired, but they know whenever they issue the number out, that fans get really pissed. The Yankee fans are incredibly territorial of that number. So, they can't do really anything with the number because they don't want to retire it. They don't want to retire it, but they also don't want to, give it out because they know the player that they give it to is going to get shit on. Like Todd Frazier. Remember Todd Frazier wanted to on 21. Paul
Oh, Nils. I remember that whole debacle.
He's just I'm taking 29.
Here's another fun one. Mel Stottlemyre. Where's he got his, actually, no, he got a plaque. He got a plaque. I remember because I was actually at the game when he got a plaque. The thing is, when I went, it was total surprise because it was Old Timers Day and they just randomly gave him the plaque without announcing it that day. I was like, oh, shit.
Derek Jeter got a plaque.
Oh, yeah, he deserved that one.
Did he?
I mean, people say he's overrated, so I don't know.
Does A-Rod get a plaque?
I'm gonna say no, but I think I'm gonna be honest. I would at least consider giving him one.
Yo, if you have say 10, 15, 20 years from now, the Yankees are, having some rough times, right? They're going through another rebuild. And the Yankees
That's when they give out the plaques.
The Yankees need a sellout immediately. You have an A-Rod night. And it is gonna be fantastic. Am I right?
You're right, and that's what the Yankees do. They give out plaques when the team sucks.
Yeah, Reggie Jackson played 5 years with the Yankees. He gets a plaque. I mean, he gets his number retired The Yankees are we're gonna need you, buddy. We're gonna.
I'll say this: without him, they definitely don't win 77-78.
Yeah, obviously, it was awesome.
So I get it.
He was a gun for hire.
I feel like I would have just gave him a plaque and not number retired, though, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Because I'm very strict. I'm strict with that. I don't like to retire all these numbers.
Yeah, I mean, if you retire too many numbers, you're not going to have any numbers left. And, you need to earn that. You need to be, and my criteria is you need to have at least, a borderline Hall of Fame career and play, the majority of those years with the Yankees.
I would say that numbers 1 through 10 are all definitely deserved. Everyone there, they deserved it.
Yeah.
That should be questioned.
Billy Martin as a manager.
Yeah.
Derek Jeter, obviously. Babe Ruth, obviously.
Gehrig, yeah.
Gehrig, yep.
DiMaggio.
Mantle.
Wait, yeah. Six was Torrey?
Six was Torrey.
Yeah, Torrey.
Who's seven again? Seven was Mantle, my bad.
Eight was Barra / Bill Dickey.
Yep.
And then 9, Roger Maris. He deserved it, in my opinion.
Yep.
And then 10 was
Rizzuto?
Rizzuto, yeah.
Or was it Maris?
Maris was 9.
Maris was 9, you're right.
Yeah, so 10 is Rizzuto.
Yes. So, I mean, all those numbers are warranted. You can make a slight argument about Maris because...
I would argue Rizzuto before Maris, personally, but...
It's fine. Yeah, those two are fine.
But they're fine,
Maris
though.
Maris did something so remarkable.
Exactly.
With the Yankees that, it's still talked about today. They literally made a movie about the year he had.
And so, I love that movie, by the way.
It's a great movie. So, he deserved it. He won, I think he won, two straight MVPs and, two World Series with him.
Yeah,
the
he
Yankees.
Did.
So, he was a monster.
He deserved it.
He was a monster. So, and Rizzuto is interesting because, he was, I think he was, a defensive shortstop, but he was, on, 10 different World Series teams.
Dude, yeah. And he was with the Yankees his whole career, I'm pretty sure, right?
He was also a broadcaster. Yeah. That meant a lot. So,
And he lost 3 years because of the Navy.
That, too. So, he was kind of the scrappy underdog that, was the starting shortstop of many World Series teams.
Oh, so, yeah. I mean, he won, trying to think, how many did he, because they had a stretch where they won 6 or 7 years in a row. It was wild. I can't think of how long it was, but it was from the late 40s through the early 50s. That was their longest stretch.
47, 48, 49, 50, 51, 52, 51, 52.
Yeah. And he was part of all of those.
Yeah. That's ridiculous. So, I think DiMaggio was on DiMaggio was on
him,
48.
Him too. Yeah.
Yeah. DiMaggio was there for all 51. The 40s.
Yeah.
So, DiMaggio was a beast.
Jesus Christ.
Third ballot Hall of Famer. Third ballot. Joe DiMaggio.
Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. It's actually complicated as to why the writers made up some bullshit reason back in the day.
But, the Hall of Fame, I despise it with a burning passion, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, but as long as you're in the Hall of Fame, yeah, it's okay. But yeah, that was good talk. That was good talk.
Yeah, we did not think we were going to go there. No. We did not think we were going to go there, but
all
did.
All because I mentioned Brett Gardner getting a plaque.
Yeah. Yep. Well,
my gut says he gets a plaque.
No.
That's my gut.
If he does, it's 20 years from now on a random day where it'll be after no one has seen Gardner for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
He'll go MIA for a good 5 to 10 years at least.
He'll come back with long hair and a beard.
Exactly. That's exactly what's going to happen.
This entire time I had hair. Alright. We're good.
This has been fun as always, Tom. I'm looking forward to the next episode. And until then, this has been the Yankee Center Podcast. I'll see you, everybody.
Peace.